Tavernier Talks, here we go. Back for another week of fun in the mortgage business. I have a super special guest this week, a guy that has been behind the scenes, okay? This guy is newly licensed in the mortgage business. And to say that somebody becomes newly licensed in this market is not easy. And actually, I think he's a little crazy, maybe. You know, I mean, like, who would want to do that, right? But he did it. And I love him for it. He, you know, he really took it to the next level here. Here we are. He's freshly licensed in December. So he's already going into the spring market full speed. He's on my team, and I'm happy to have him. Anthony Lombardi, welcome.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank
so you. He's learning the ropes, right? So, and I know it's not easy. There's a lot of twists and turns in the mortgage business, as we know. So I want him to take us through a day in the life of a loan officer, because I'm sure by now he wants to kill himself, right? So so we want to hear all about that, of why every day he wants to do that, and what I do to try to make him feel better, and you know, coach him along the way so that when things do pick up again and the rates do go down, he's ready to roll. So Anthony, take it away. Give us your background, how you became licensed, where you were before that, and take it from there. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Background was, I got my marketing degree from Rowan University. I graduated May of 2023.
Wow.
And May of 2023 is when I started marketing for you.
Okay.
Took control of Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and then we threw in YouTube.
It's always good to have a good marketing guy behind your back, right? You got to have that. I've learned that from day one. And he came in and took the bull by the horns and did it. So, yeah.
And as I was doing that, I was studying to pass the mortgage exam simultaneously.
True.
The mortgage exam.
Right. But I still wanted the marketing work done.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't care that he was studying. All right. I wanted the marketing work done. All right. But go ahead.
Two posts a day.
Right. Two posts a day. Right.
And a lot of studying.
Right.
But I passed the test in October of 2023, thanks to MLO Study Buddy.
And how many months of studying was that?
It was basically August is when it really turned up. So it was August, September, October, 3 months of hardcore studying.
Wow.
Hardcore studying. Because at first it was, you know, like an hour a day.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, that's not enough. Two, three, four. And then it all went all the way up to like 8 to 10 for those 3 months.
Right.
It was get those first two posts up, hit the realtors on the DMs, and study.
Okay. So where did you study at? Like what, you know, how did you pass?
MLO Study Buddy. From Rocky LaGuercio on Facebook. Okay. I found his YouTube group, or his Facebook group, I'm sorry. And he has a whole organization designed to help you pass the exam.
Okay.
Nightly classes, 6 days a week on Zoom. You're with 100 other people all in the same boat just as you.
And what time were you on every night?
The classes were at like 8 o'clock.
Right.
9:30 for the other classes.
Right. See, I'm going to bed then. So I don't... I would have never been able to do that, but go ahead.
And some of the classes went as far as 12:30, 1 for the hot, for the hot seat classes.
Okay. 12:30 at night. Yeah, so you have to be 22
you
or 21 in order to be that.
You got
to
be insane.
Any 40-year-old is up at 12:30 at night doing study buddy has a real problem. I mean, something's wrong with him.
And then we were in study groups. So we would be paired with 5-6 other people, and we would get together every day and study for 2 hours. Hardcore reading the guide, studying the flashcards. I do all the flashcards either before the exam or before the study group, and then the guide all the way in between, and then the classes at night where Rocky, the main guy, he would basically quiz you on everything. He would nail you hard. What's the answer to this?
Right.
What's the answer to this? Just 10 minutes of straight, and he'll get you. He'll make sure you get something wrong so that you would have something.
Right.
You think you know it? You don't. You'll go back.
So he cracked you, basically. Yeah.
And I did the hot seat basically for 2 months. And it wasn't until the last two or three where I was like, all right, I know almost everything.
Okay.
And that's when I was confident enough to take the exam, passed it in October with a 75.
That's
so
fine.
Even though I knew everything, I still got the minimum score to pass, which is perfect. But
you
it goes to show, if you think you know everything, you put in countless hours of work, you're still borderline. You're still just there.
Tell us how many people have failed. I mean, I'm sure more than pass.
So a lot of people don't know, but the mortgage exam is infamously known to be much harder, or the mortgage exam is much, much harder than the real estate exam. I can't talk for the real estate exam, but I know from Rocky, because he took both, and everyone else, I saw a lot of realtors in the group studying with me, and they're like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
I did the real estate exam. I failed it on Monday. I took it again on Tuesday.
Right, right.
I failed it on Tuesday. I took it again on Monday. If you fail the mortgage exam, 30 days. You fail it again, 30 more days. You fail it again. Fail it the third time, you have to wait 6 months.
6 months to take it again.
And it's a 56% passing rate. So just right off the bat, you go into that room with 30 other people.
It's basically 50-50.
50% of them walk out failing. And then the second time you take that exam, it drops. It drops to 46. So each time you take it, the passing rate goes down.
Lower and down. Because I guess people get frustrated and they don't, they figure I'm going to go for the second time and I'm going to pass this thing. And then they just really fail because they don't study as hard as they did the first
time. You got to be obsessed. As Rocky would always say, you have to be obsessed.
Right.
He was always saying to us, look, you think this is hard? Wait until you get into the industry. And he's right. You got to be obsessed with this too. It's the same thing.
And Rocky is a loan officer too, right?
He's a loan officer in New York.
Right.
He took the exam himself. I forget which year, it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he didn't have as much materials as he wanted.
Right.
So he thought, I'm going to make something to make it easier for everyone else. And that's what he does every day. He's a realtor and a loan officer and MLO study buddy.
You know, the greatest phone call that I got was when he passed. Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was taking the test. You know what I mean? I did. I literally felt like I was in the front line taking the test with him because, you know, you know how hard he worked in order to get it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to pass that thing on the first shot, I know was not easy.
It's the one and done crew, we call it.
Right.
Taking it on the first try. And I always say it was harder than college.
Really?
It was harder than getting my marketing degree. Because college, you flip a switch.
You're done.
You buck out 10 pages on an essay. You pay attention in class. You'll get good grades.
Yeah.
I was able to apply myself enough to get A's and B's. I was fine.
Right. You're done. Right.
Mortgage exam, you need to know everything to the T.
Yep.
100% all the way. Otherwise, you're not good enough.
They made the barrier really hard.
Very.
To get in. Like, they don't want anybody that just comes off the street and says, I want to be a loan officer. Because back in my day in 2007 and 2006, they would just give you a whatever, right? Yeah. Like they wouldn't check anything. You wouldn't have to take a test. You would just become a loan officer and you're done. You know. So now they've really tightened up the barrier big time. And I think that's good because it weeds out the people that don't belong. Mm-hmm. You want professionals in the business. You want people that are in it for a career. People that are legit, you know, they have a good background. They know financial things. Listen, you're coaching people on what to do financially to buy a home. You shouldn't just be some guy off the street, not licensed and not mm-hmm. checked out, you know, and I think that's a big thing, you know. So kudos to you for passing that. Like I said, it was a great thing. And then I throw them right into the front line, right? So, I mean, that's what happened, right? It's like, great, you passed. Go get some realtors, right? Let's go work hard.
Yeah.
And so fast forward now then to 4 months later, 5 months later, we're into the spring market. What are you feeling right now? Tell us as a new loan officer, and I know it hasn't been easy, right? I mean, it felt maybe a little bit easy in the beginning in January because the 10-year was at 3.9. Rates were going down, right? Things were lighting up.
Yep.
We thought we were heading into a big year. The Fed said 6 rate cuts are coming. Here we go with a refi boom by the end of the year, yada, yada, yada. And then it all just...
And then we went to the darkness.
Right. Right. So tell us what happens when you on a new loan officer, do you get discouraged right away? Or are you saying, you know what? I know this is what it is and I'm going to wait this market out.
There's a learning period.
Right.
Because you pass that test, you're on top of the world. You're like, all right, I did the hardest thing I've ever done. Let's go take it on. And then you're like, it's not that easy.
Right.
But yeah. The
problem is I made it look easy.
Exactly. I look at you doing it every day.
Right, right.
I've been
doing it for 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's the problem is that newer loan officers see that and they think, wow, I could just do it. Yeah, I could do what Alex is doing.
Yep.
You know, or I could do what a 20-year loan officer has been doing, but it takes time.
It's a learning curve, but you see what it takes. You know, I see what it takes watching you every day. And you see that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. I know that, obviously.
Right.
You need to be in it for the long term, mm-hmm. for a career.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, it takes time to build these relationships with realtors. It takes time to build your name and make it actually something. Otherwise.
Yeah. Listen, I've learned this from day one. People have to like you, right? They have to like you in order to deal with you, right? So they're not. I don't care if you got the greatest looks in the world and you drive a Ferrari and you are, you know, you've lived in a $2 million house and you say, I'm a loan officer that just got licensed. If people don't like you, they're not going to use you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
It's huge.
Right?
It's huge. You got to be personable.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to help out.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah. And you got to be at a beck and call. Yeah. You know, we work on the weekends, right? So Anthony, I've trained to, you know, let them know that Saturdays and Sundays sometimes are our haymakers,
yep.
versus during the week. Like, you could be twiddling your thumbs on a Monday or Tuesday, but here we are rocking and rolling on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday, because that's where the business is on the weekends. And him as a new loan officer, learn that.
Lombardi's Weekend Warriors, you know who you are.
Right. I mean, people even notice that now, that he puts out a post every week saying, you know, that he's a weekend warrior, which is awesome.
You have to be. And I learned that right from the jump, because I was posting it for you before I was licensed. Tabernay Group works weekends.
Yeah. How many deals have I gotten on the weekend? Tons.
Almost every one is done on the weekend.
Right.
Because that's when these clients, these borrowers, that's when they have time.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're talking to them at Monday at 7 p.m., it makes sense that they have time on the weekend because they're not working.
Right. So bring us through a day in the life. So you wake up in the morning, right? Probably say, why am I doing this? but then that goes out of the mind, right? That goes out of that's in my mind over the last 20. Why am I still doing this? But I do it, right? And then that goes out of my mind, and I say, you know what? I'm doing this because I like it. I like getting people to closing. I like seeing people. I like working hard during the day and then going to the closing, and then you see the people's face, and you're like, you know what? I work my butt off to get those people to closing. I did a lot behind the scenes.
Yep. People may not know it, but
they don't know it, right? So then in your mind, it's like payoff. You get in your car after you leave a closing, after everybody shook your hand or hugged you, mm-hmm. and the realtor hugged you and said that it was the best. You feel great because you knew that it was not easy and it was earned. So you wake up in the morning, and then what?
First thing I do is check the tenure. It's what I do every single morning.
Right.
As I was taught by
I him. Love that he says that he knows right away about the 10-year treasury. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a 10-year treasury nut.
Yep.
So now he's living on the 10-year treasury. I love it.
So the 10-year, as you explained to me, it follows the interest rates. If the 10-year shoots up, interest rates will follow. If it shoots back down, the interest rates will follow.
Good man.
So if I know what that is and I know where it's going, I know where it's going to be. And
you study that first thing in the morning, right?
First thing in the
morning.
It's
still dark outside. You're like looking at the 10-year on the Bloomberg.
Yep.
You're like, this is all right. What kind of day we're going to have today?
Yep. Next thing I do is I usually go around my sphere. I go into our CRM and I follow up with everyone. Follow-ups with all the leads, follow-ups with all the realtors. Just seeing if I could get any of those leads to come back.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a CRM is big.
It's really big.
Me and Anthony have recently invested for the team a CRM that he's been using religiously every day. If you're not using a CRM, he's actually working my past database, and he's working newer realtors, current realtors, clients from realtor.com, clients from Zillow, whatever it may be. We load everything into our CRM, into our database, mm-hmm. and then we just continue to bring them valuable information every week about what's going on in the market so that they hopefully will work with us on their next move.
Yeah. Right. And so we're using Follow Up Boss. That's the one that we chose. I'll give a shout out to Gio. Thanks, Gio, for showing me the ropes of Follow Up Boss.
Nice.
Follow Up Boss is mainly for realtors. I saw the percentages of who uses it, and it's like 90% realtors, and there's only like 10% of lenders. Like, it's not really meant for lenders, but we utilized it. And
that's good.
Works perfectly.
We got the secret sauce there, basically.
Because I saw all the other CRMs, because when I was marketing for you, I was like, oh, we need a CRM. But I was like, I don't know these.
Yeah, it was
these
good brands. To have that.
And looking through all of them, we tried like maybe three or four, and it was just, I don't know, they give you like 800 tools and you really only want like three of them. So then you just get overwhelmed. But I'd recommend for Follow Up Boss if you're a lender and you want something that works.
Okay. So he puts together the CRM every morning. He sees who we have to reach out to, who's maybe responded to us overnight, you know, what type of new leads may have come in that he has to reach out to. And then once you do that, you move into, I guess, more of a marketing aspect of things, or what next?
Next would be the posts.
Okay.
Usually we have the clips, the posts from the podcast. We have TikToks that we can make as well. I do that as well. I follow the trends of what's popping on TikTok basically. And then I not copy it, but I use the templates in CapCut and then make it pertaining to mortgages somehow.
Right.
Facebook posts are big. I just try to provide value in my marketing.
Sure.
So that it gives the realtors a little bit of ammo for them to repost because it's something that makes sense. It's something with substance.
Okay. The Facebook posts are huge. So if you're not doing Facebook, I tell Anthony we should be doing one or two posts a day. Instagram also. You know, listen, you got to have a young guy like this who knows social media, knows where to post, what time to post, you know, and what audiences that we have to get in front of.
Yep,
you know, with me being an old man, you know, I don't know this stuff as good as I do. I can give him the content to post, but he knows more of that technical, when to do it and what to do it. And I think he's been very good with coaching realtors on their own social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you run into that a lot too, where a realtor really doesn't know too much about social media and then they go to you and then you set them straight?
Yep. I learned it at Rowan with my marketing degree. I took a class and it was social media marketing. And we basically went through a simulator of marketing a company and what to post. We had pictures, captions, different social media channels, Facebook, Instagram. Like it was the full, I was literally marketing a company through a simulation.
Right.
So I was doing it before I even did it with the Tavernier Group.
Awesome.
And it's basically down to a science.
Yeah.
And this is what I try to teach the realtors day in and day out. You have to be consistent with it. It's the exact frequency that I was taught in college is you need to post 1 to 1.5 times per day. So what that means is one, sometimes two. At least one. At least almost 1 to 2 every single day.
Right.
And the time period is 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. The best time to post is coincidentally Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Right.
Why? I don't know.
Right.
Sunday, you get no exposure. Saturday, I mean, I still throw stuff up on the weekends anyways, but don't expect the most engagement.
I always thought that maybe at nighttime would be good because people are on their phones, you know, sitting around all night on the couch looking at their phones, right? They don't even watch TV anymore.
It is weird. You know? But yeah, it's capped at 2, 11 to 2. Okay. And I noticed it when I would post things like, if like you had a closing and I went to go post it and I'm like, it's 4:30.
Right,
it's
too late.
But I was like, I don't care. It's a closing.
Throw it up anyway. Right.
You see, it gets less likes.
Right. And how many realtors do you think you run into that don't have an actual website?
A lot. I know. And the ones that use social media versus not at all.
See, if you can't find, and I've said this on past episodes, if I'm not able to find you on social media, then you're not in the business.
Brand recognition. It's huge. Look, we're both wearing green for the Tavernier Group with Green Tree. You need to have a name and you need to have a brand that you want to put. And if you go on your Facebook account and you start type in this realtor's name and they don't even have an account, let alone a profile picture, a professional profile picture, you can only help someone.
You can't
so
find
much.
Their phone number. They can't find their email. You can't find their phone. You don't even know they're alive. I mean, like, hello. You gotta do something.
Yep.
Hire a marketer, you know, out of your own pocket.
Yep.
Listen, I've made a lot of investments out of my own pocket hiring people. My processor, who's been with me for 15 years, I used to pay her out of my own pocket for the first year because I wanted her for myself. Okay. Sometimes you got to make investments in this business. I know it stinks and I know this is a hard market, but make the investment because it's going to pay off down the road. Hire a marketer, hire an assistant, hire a processor. If the company's not going to hire for you, you do it, right?
And a good idea, get an intern from a college.
Get an intern.
Take them for 2 to 3 months, help them, and they help you.
Sure. And they work for almost nothing. They're
free.
Just happy to.
They're just checking the check mark on their internship that they have to take in order to, to graduate.
Right.
But if you want to see how it could work first, yeah. before you go and pay someone hourly, yearly, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. I've seen it happen just in school as well. Hire an intern.
So one thing that I do have Anthony doing, and I've done through my whole career, is reach out to realtors, right? Reach out to new realtors, existing realtors, realtors that I work with that I haven't heard from that maybe are not doing so much business in this market. The job is to prospect, right? We have to prospect all day. It, maybe not straight, but an hour here, an hour there. You got to get your prospecting in. If me and him aren't prospecting, we got a problem. I mean, I don't care how much business you're doing. You could be doing 20 deals a month. Next month, you'll have zero if you didn't prospect at all the month that you were doing the 20 deals.
Yep.
So prospecting's big, and I have them, you know, constantly scripting and hitting realtors. I don't mean hitting them. Reaching out to them is probably a better word.
Yeah.
To see if they're, you know, would be willing to, you know, work with us and see what we can offer them. How hard is that?
It's not easy. I had 10 a day.
10 a day.
10 a day.
Every day.
A lot of them don't respond. A lot of them already wrapped up with a lender that they've been working with for 25 years, just like yourself.
Yep.
But yeah, all we do is we reach out. I reach out to them. Either I text them directly or I hit them up on Instagram or Facebook.
Yep.
And I just try to, I try to throw a reel. I try to catch them just a little bit. I try to provide a value with my marketing because my background is being a marketer. It's something, it's really the only, it's my good ace in my deck of cards, really. But
which is huge.
It is huge.
See, he's not just reaching out to him saying, I want your business, right? Just send me a deal.
No.
Right, my name's Anthony Lombardi. I work for Green Tree Mortgage and Tavern Group. Send me a deal.
I wish it were that easy.
I mean, it would be great, right? If they just lay down and say, oh, yes. You know, hail.
Sure, you, here you go.
Here's a deal. Sure, close 30 days, 500,000. I mean, that's not going to happen, right?
You got to help them. You got to show why you're better than the other person who's not helping them.
Right. And I hate to say it, and I'm not going to put down other loan officers in the business, but a lot of them are not helping their partners, and that's a problem. I mean, all day I brainstorm with myself or with Anthony, just trying to figure out what other type of, you know, gadgets or different programs or different things that we can bring to them to, you know, list reports and HomeBot you name it, you know.
Went through them all.
We went through them all, right? There's so many different programs that we try to give them more value. Because we know that it's really hard right now to get clients, as it's hard for us, you know, with rates being in the sevens. So we have to try to figure out a way of what we can do to invest in their business so that if they're successful, then we're successful, you know. Pretty much. He gets a lot of people that ghost him.
Yeah. I mean, you can't take it personal. You got to think, look, there's probably, five people hitting them up every week?
Constant.
From different mortgage companies. Yeah. Like, you can't take it personal. You just got to move on, hit the next 10.
Yeah.
If they bite a little bit, follow up with them.
Yeah.
See if you could reel them in and show them why you're the one that should get their business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not an easy job. It's a grind, right?
Yep.
I've tried to tell any loan officer that I've gotten that I've helped mentored in the past, which were, you know, a team of them. And I always was saying that we have to make lists of who we're meeting with and where we're going. And, you know, are we going to a broker's open today? Are we going to an open house this weekend? Are we doing an open house blitz? Are we reaching out to this realtor to see if we could have a meeting with them? Like, you gotta be doing something every day. And listen, with the pandemic, it didn't make it easy because everybody's, you know, no one goes in the office anymore. So now we're all trapped in our living rooms or our kitchens or bedrooms, wherever it is.
Yep.
And it's not as easy to get people to respond. But once you do, then it's, it pays off. It's a grind.
Yeah. And no day's the same, which is one thing I liked about being a loan officer. No day will ever be the same.
You got that right. Some days you're heavily drinking, and then some days you feel great, right?
Yeah,
you're just like,
yeah.
It depends on the day, right?
Some day you're marketing all day and you don't hear anything from anyone, and the next day it comes back that the income, the pay stubs they sent you were fake, and you got to deal with the
That's this part of the business that, you know, I don't listen. You get all excited because you get a pre-approval, mm-hmm. right? But then they wind up going to another lender. Right, you lose them because of rate. You lose them in underwriting because we found out something, like you said, a fake pay stub or a fake ID or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Right? you can't count anything.
No. You can only count on after the closing's done, and that's it.
Now, you might submit a loan that you didn't think should have went. Like, you thought that the income was messed up, and you thought, this guy's really not that. You send it in, and you get an approval, and you get a commitment. And you next thing you know, you're going to closing. Like, this is the unpredictable business that we're in. But we have to try every deal, work every deal, because you never know.
Got to give everything a shot.
You got to give it a shot.
Everything. Indeed.
Because it could work down the road. Mm-hmm. And then they go under contract.
Yep.
As we're seeing now.
And we see many loan officers who don't give it a shot. And the realtor comes up saying, so-and-so said that they can't be approved. Right. Their income's not good enough. And I take a look and I'm like,
yeah.
They even look at it?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Right. So we gotta keep going. And I think that with a newer loan officer like himself, he's seeing a lot of these pitfalls. He's seeing a lot of this stuff. He's probably getting frustrated, I'm sure. Good days, bad days. He just has to look at the gold at the end of the rainbow here, right? So it is. I mean, we're going to get there, you know, which we're going to get into interest rates and what's going on in the market and shortly. But I think, you know, right now, if you just stick to it and you do what you're doing, you're going to see success.
Survive until 25.
Right. Survive until 25. That's the saying right now. Survive until 25. I hope sooner.
But I mean, I hope June.
Yeah, I hope June of 2024. But survive till 25 sounds fine. We got to go there. You know?
And you always say if you could survive in this market,
yeah.
You said this is arguably as bad as it was in 2008.
Arguably, if not worse. I hate to say that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we hear of 2008, I'm thinking
right.
That's why the test was so hard.
I know.
They had to pass the SAFE Act.
I know. You just reminded me of how bad it is.
Yeah.
Maybe we should shut down for the day. All right. So we're going to get into interest rates. What's going on in the market, right? Something we do every day, right? Something that we look at every day. We touched on the 10-year and how the 10-year correlates to what's going on with interest rates every day. What are you seeing on rates yourself? I mean, Anthony's running a lot of scenarios now, you know, on this and what's my pricing here and, you know, take us over the last month here. What kind of a pain have we been seeing?
Talking about rates, it always is.
I know.
It's always an interesting topic.
Sure it is.
Lately, the last few months, I've only been coming with bad news.
Yeah, I know.
But.
I know.
You know, as early as, let's say, beginning of last month, I could price out an FHA at low sixes. And
that's gone.
A week or two ago, it's
yeah,
now
it's gone. Right.
Above mid sixes.
Right. Right.
Conventional, I don't even want to talk about the rates on conventional because
yeah.
They went well above sevens, but, you know, they change every hour of every day.
You know, what's great about Anthony is that he starts at a time where the rates are like this.
Yeah.
Right. So he doesn't know any better, which is good.
Yeah.
And I say that about the realtors who are getting into the business now. They don't know any better either. Mm-hmm. Right. They only know the rates are in the sevens and possible eights now and you know, high sixes, whatever it may be. They don't know any better, and it's probably better that way. Mm-hmm. Because if you got in when it was 2 and 3, you're feeling, you know, if you don't have a good business put together and you don't have good contacts and a good spear that you're marketing to or a good database, you are in trouble because we're no longer 2, 3, 4 and the deals are just falling from the sky. You got to work your butt off to get somebody to convert at a 7.25 rate. But it's better that you're doing that.
It is.
You know, so good days, bad days in the market right now with rates.
Yeah. We were supposed to see 6 rate cuts on the year, but now they're saying earliest is July.
Right.
But now that's it. Now it's cutting too close to the election.
Right.
So now they're saying if it's not July, it'll be the fall because the
election's coming.
What's
a scary thing is I heard that they said there might not be zero. No rate cuts the whole year, which is unbelievable.
Not even surprised, actually.
It's unbelievable, right? Inflation, right? So these inflation reports keep coming out, and it's hurting a lot of people in the mortgage business. Realtors, it's hurting buyers. It's hurting everybody because the cost of living is so high, you know, and that's driven by what? The D word, right? What's the D word that I've been crying about on Facebook and social media that everybody has?
Debt.
Yes.
People like to complain about the interest rates. They like to complain about everything else, but it's the debt that they build up and up and up that is the killer of so many deals and so many people's dreams of buying a house.
Right.
It's debt.
It's debt.
It's debt more than anything. Even I don't care if they had a 2%. There's so many people where it's like, I could price them. I could, like, hypothetically, if I threw a 3% interest rate in there, they can't qualify anyways because their debt
because
is just.
Because they got too much debt.
It's just
so it's not fast. It's not the rates. I mean, the rates don't help.
No, yeah. So I think it's a combination of a few things. And every day you'll see a combination of three of all of them, just one, whatever. It's the rates being really high.
Yeah.
It's the debt being insurmountable, mm-hmm. the amount of debt that people carry on. And it's the income they make.
Yeah.
You need to make a decent amount.
What do you think you need to make a year right now? Yeah, and you know, I say this because, you know, a lot of people ask me this. Like, they ask me.
It's a good question.
How much do I need to make?
If you want to qualify for a house, I think...
Drum roll.
I think the lowest you could really go, 60, 70 with no debt. If you have debt, 80.
80 minimum if you have debt.
And
actually,
usually,
you hear higher numbers. I'm hearing 100.
I know. I see on social media, like, 90K is the
borderline.
Is the borderline to live comfortably.
Correct.
But, I mean, if you have two people married, then you could hopefully go above 100 if you go 50-50 each. If we're
That's because
looking
of the prices of the houses are 400,000 minimum.
Yeah.
Right?
Houses that were 250.
They're 400 now.
5 years ago, yeah.
So you got to make a lot of money. You know, debt's a major issue.
Yeah, even if you make a lot of money. If half of it's going out to debt every month, then it doesn't matter anymore.
Like, I understand you have to have a car loan. Everybody has to have a car to drive. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to have every single store card that's known to man, right? You don't need every single major credit card. You know, you can't. You can't because you can't buy anything then when it comes time to buy something. You don't realize.
It's a hard topic because, look, I know it's tough for people. You know, they put a lot on credit. They carry large balances for whatever.
To live.
But, yeah, to live. And then here I'm telling them, hey, can you pay off this whole credit card balance? Then I could qualify.
Yeah,
you.
And that credit card balance is not $3,000, folks.
Yeah.
It's $10,000. It's $20,000. It's $30,000.
And they're paying interest on it every month.
It keeps going up and up. Yeah.
If you could get to the credit first, let's say, I always try to tell people, use credit card just to get a good credit score.
Yeah.
If you only do that,
it's good.
You'll be good.
Right.
But obviously that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, my processor, Gina, which of course Anthony knows, and if you deal with us, you'll know Gina. She's my head processor for at least 15 years. Her biggest gripe to me is people using their credit cards while they're in process to get a mortgage, okay? And so I'm not talking about the people that me and him see on the front line, which you see. Let's talk about the people using their credit cards while they're getting a mortgage. How bad is that? You know,
it's not fun.
Right. Because you're making the phone call saying you don't qualify or you got to pay that credit card off while you're in process. And a lot of people don't have the money to do that. And it kills the deal.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people always say, like, oh, like, I always see on Facebook, oh, should you put minimum down or 20% down? Majority of the people I talk to don't even have enough to pay for minimum down.
Sure.
It's not even a question about 20. They can't.
They don't even have the 3%.
They don't even have 3%.
I know, which is tough.
It's funny.
So then you're using your credit cards while you're in process. You finally came up with the 3%. You got a gift or whatever it is.
Now the DTI
and now
is
the
not DTI, good.
Now your debt to income ratio is, you got to listen. Don't use credit cards while you're in process to buy a home.
Don't do anything while you're in process.
Don't do anything.
Just sit there.
You know, you want to get engaged and go buy an engagement ring. Wait. Until you close on the home. You want to go buy the expensive furniture and all these appliances? Wait until you buy a home. Then you do it afterwards. You can't do it while you're
in it. You see it every day.
Yeah.
Because people, they get excited about a house. They want to get everything that comes with the house.
A
new car for the garage, nice furniture for this, patio stuff. But you got to wait.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you won't get that house.
You won't. You know, I got people telling me, well, I traded my car. I've had them approved already. You trade your car? Oh, that's great. So you don't have that car payment anymore. Well, no, I got another car. Okay. It's $300 higher a month now. What? Why didn't you just drive the old car until we closed and then you trade the car when we close, and then you can go $300 higher. Now we got a problem. You got to go back to the dealer and renegotiate the car payment because you don't qualify with the car payment. That's the stuff that goes on that I don't think people really realize.
People moving jobs.
Right. Tell us about that. What happens then?
You're screwed.
Yeah. You're screwed.
Not really.
This is a new loan officer saying you're screwed. All right. Imagine how I feel after 20 years of doing this. You're screwed is being nice. I want to blow them up.
Being hopeful that the deal will survive. Sure. But I mean, I've had people that they say they make good money, but they quit their W-2 job 2 months ago. And they're like, oh, I'm self-employed now.
That's huge. So, Didn't that just happen to you?
It did. I'm exactly quoting what happened.
What happened? The guy was W-2,
so
right?
He was W-2 making...
whatever.
Like $8,000 a month.
$100,000 a year.
In W-2 money.
W-2 income for the last how many years?
Five, maybe six. Right. It was around there. And then I think we're in February I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Quits it in September.
Quits his W-2 job in September after doing it for 5 years, making $100,000 a year.
And then does self-employed.
Goes self-employed. And we don't.
And I said, how much do you make? He said, $10,000-$12,000 a month. I said, oh, that's great. It's music to my ears. And then I dig a little bit deeper.
He makes $12,000 a month.
In self-employed income.
Sure. Which means
he makes more now being self-employed.
Sure he does. But we don't.
You don't have 2 years.
We have no history of
you
that.
You have no history. I mean, we have history from October.
October, whatever.
But once you quit that W-2 job, it's as if it never happened.
Right.
You can't use that income anymore.
No.
It's as if you're just looking at, right, you've only been employed since October.
You're out. You got to literally wait at least a year or two. You know, I've seen self-employed people get 1 year, but that's if you're self-employed for 5 years, then we can maybe only use 1 year of income.
Yeah.
But it's hypothetically 2 years. You know, so you're out. You're out.
And that guy, he's been making $10,000-$12,000 a month for the last how many years? Can't qualify to get a house.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Right. Then he's got to get a cosigner.
Yep.
Right.
Which is. You know.
And then you rely all on the cosigner and you use all their income to qualify. Not to say it's a bad thing. I've saved a lot of deals with using cosigners, but it's not the most ideal thing. And you probably should have thought of not going self-employed 3 months before you're going to buy a house.
Yep. We're relying on cosigners for so many deals right now. And then we see people that come in who co-signed on other people's cars.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it hurts them as well.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Right. Seen a lot of stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's fun.
You know, it's fun. It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. I guess that's the word you could use. You know, you do got to smile. You do. You got to smile and dial is what I say.
Yeah.
That's it. You just got to keep going. Like, what are you going to do? Cry because you got to move on.
Yep.
You got to just stay on it for the next one and the next one because
every month
we start from zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just got to keep going.
Yeah. So what keeps it alive.
Right. Right. So what do you think here coming in? Like, you know, are you feeling like, you know, I know that this is not the best situation right now because of this market, but I know that it's going to get better.
That's how I look at it.
Right.
I know I'm coming into one of the worst markets ever, but
you do know that.
I do know that.
Okay.
Which is, it explains a lot, but you know, when it was like my first month,
right,
I was like, what is happening?
Yes.
But I was like,
right.
But you know, now that I know how it works, I know why everything is the way it is.
And
I know where brighter days are ahead.
Right.
And if you put in the work now, you'll reap the benefits later.
Yeah. Anthony works with a lot of younger loan officers, realtors that just got into business, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually on his way to an open house today, right?
Yep.
So
shout out Caesar.
Right, Caesar.
Jim Roach Real Estate.
Jim Roach Real Estate, Caesar. We did have Jim Roach on originally in the beginning of the, when I started doing these shows. Jim has a great team, a lot of young loan officers.
Yeah.
Anthony's been speaking to a lot of them.
And they're hungry.
They're hungry, right? They're on the street doing open houses. You know, how pertinent do you think it is for a loan officer like yourself to show up at an open house or at least help them market it?
Helping them market it is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge because social media is everything right now. So what we try to do is just try to get the most eyes on it as possible.
Yeah.
We do TikToks and we do the estimated mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Show what it would look like. Like people see open house, oh, the house is beautiful, and they move on like, oh, I could get that. And then I put the mortgage payment under it. and it says the mortgage payment's $5,000, and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, then they delete the TikTok.
And then they see what but on other houses, it's good to see what the cost actually is.
Right.
It's good to make flyers for the open house, put it on all of my social media, all of your social media, all of the Tabernacle Group social media. Just get as many eyes on it as possible.
Right. Facebook used to do Facebook ads, right?
Yep, yeah. Facebook. We still do them now every now and then.
It should try to drive brand to the open house.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about getting the leads. I mean, we all know, and if you're a good realtor and a good loan officer, you're not getting the best leads on Facebook, right? I mean, they're just not the best quality.
They send me their email and number because they were interested in the ad that I made. And then,
they're just,
I get a text
MIA,
back and they're
right?
saying,
they're quiet,
why, are you, why are you messaging me? What?
Right, like who
they,
are
they
you?
They get mad at me.
They get mad. They fill out the ad. They put all their information
and
they get mad because we reach
Facebook.
Out to them. I don't get it. You know, that's more just for branding and just for saying that, you know, we're getting as many eyes as we can on that open house. So if you're a realtor and you are looking for marketing, Anthony does reach out on Fridays, Thursdays sometimes saying, do you have any upcoming open houses? We're big into follow-up. With follow-up, boss, like you said in the beginning of the show, is primarily for realtor follow-up, where we'll get the open house sheets and how many people came in and really put them into that CRM and follow up with them, mm-hmm. you know, to see if we can convert them.
Yeah.
You know, which is huge.
Just hounding them and following up almost every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
And just getting them to respond, finding out if they are qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows, they could probably buy that house that they wanted or that they were looking at. And then we could return that buyer qualified with a letter in hand to the realtor.
How about the realtor.com? What do you think about that?
Realtor.com it's decent.
Okay.
We've seen many lead websites as we co-market with our agents. Not many of them are good.
Right.
A lot of them are a waste.
Most of them.
Majority of them.
Yes.
But
he's being nice right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Realtor.com has seemingly been the one that's
kind of better.
That has the edge on
right.
the wall.
Right. Right.
I know they say 2% convert, which is really low, but that's the number I've seen float around. But we've seen a lot of people close on it, a lot of pre-approvals that come from it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to do a lot of Zillow, and Zillow was good in the beginning. And it seems like their quality of leads, if you're a realtor listening to this right now, their quality of leads has gone down. Mm-hmm. I think realtor.com, in my personal opinion, has gotten better with quality of leads, more exclusive than Zillow. Zillow just hasn't been, you know, what it used to be in the heyday when I was doing it and we were dumping big money mm-hmm. into it, you know.
I've seen a lot of people get into it now. You know who has leads now that you can pay for?
Who?
Sirhan.
You're kidding me.
And you know who else has it?
Who?
Dave Ramsey.
You're kidding me.
Dave Ramsey, real
estate. They're doing
leads. Like pay for leads, like realtor.com, like Zillow, the same thing, but it's.
They're leads.
It's them.
Wow.
It's their websites.
Well, that's what it is nowadays, right? So everybody's chasing a shiny bullet, right? Everybody wants that shiny thing to get because the business is scarce. So they figure I can buy leads from this and buy leads from that. The problem is that most of these leads are not the best leads. You know what the best leads are the ones that you just. You organically get yourself, right? You attack and you put your face out there. Like we're starting to do mailings now, you know, in neighborhoods that are local to us. We're doing, events now coming up that, to get face-to-face with more people. Mm-hmm. I think
building your name.
Right. That's where your leads are going to come from. Your leads are not going to come from, you might get one realtor.com here or there, but it's not worth it, you know, in the end, because if you want your whole business relying on that, you're not going
to
make it.
You can't rely on it.
No,
it
you can't
just
rely
has
on
to
that.
Be used to supplement what you're already doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what you're doing is for the long term.
Yeah.
Realtor.com is just a layup every now and then.
Right. So we're going into the future here. I think that my prediction is that we will see a rate cut by the end of the year. Okay, it's not going to be zero. Will that drive the rates down that much? I don't know. You know, you need 5 rate cuts to drive these rates back down to where they are. Affordability is an issue, but I do think that if you can afford a house right now and you can afford the payment and you like the house, you probably should still do it because I still am sticking to that once these rates do come down, we're going to see some chaos, which is what Anthony's been waiting for. I've been telling him that we're going to go crazy, with this, but then they never go down here, right? So he's probably thinking I'm full of BS and that these rates probably will never go down, but they will go down. It's just, we just got to wait a little bit longer. You know, and I think you're going to see some action then, you know, by the end of the year, as far as more people buying, more people qualifying, more people listing, right?
That's big too. Cause low inventory is a problem I hear about all the time too.
Yeah.
You know,
you sit in realtor meetings once a week. So, Anthony's a Red Door is the name of the team.
Red Door, powered by HomeSmart.
There you go. He sits with them once a week and listens to, you know, what are the biggest gripes right now from a realtor meeting that you're hearing?
Low inventory is what I hear a lot. I've got a lot of people pre-approved with that team, and they can't win an offer. They can't win an offer. They're putting offers in. I'm seeing people with conventional 20% down over asking. They're not winning it.
They're not winning.
There's better offers being offered on it because the inventory is so low. There's such a big pool of qualified people that's going after it.
And a lot of cash.
Yeah. You know? A lot. I had realtors tell me 5 of my last 6 deals have all been cash.
Cash. You know, and you know where that cash is coming from. It's coming from corporations. And I'm not going to name those corporation names on this show because then they'll probably ban me from whatever, you know,
see it on the
freedom
news.
Of speech goes out the window sometimes. So I'm not going to get crazy on here, although I would like to. And actually, if it was a night show, you know, and we had a few drinks here, then we probably would talk about those corporations, but we're not going to go there. But those corporations are buying up everything, you know, and I want everybody to listen to this one. Corporations are buying up everything cash. They're buying big blocks of houses cash. Okay, to give people like yourself, first-time buyers, no chance to buy a house on their own because they're being outbid $100,000 over cash. And what these corporations are doing is they're buying whole neighborhoods and they're turning those houses into rentals.
And then they want the income.
Right. They're getting the income off the rentals and it's killing the whole industry of people that want to buy houses. And I hate to say it, it's almost like a monopoly, you know, that they're starting to do. Like if you look at these corporations, they own 30 to 40% of all the houses in the country right now, and they continue to build. They're going to be over 50, 60% of all the houses in the country, which means they control.
No, it's not good.
Right.
You see it on the news.
Yeah.
You'll see it.
Yeah.
Pop up on Facebook.
I mean, does that worry you that, You might be out of a job. No, I'm sure. That's a joke. We're not going anywhere. I don't care. All right. They're always going to need guys like us. No matter how many corporations there are, there's always the need for loan officers. There's always going to be here.
The way they picture it in the news, it always seems like a dark cloud looming on us. But I think it'll be fine.
Right. I have one last question for you before we go. AI. You're a big AI guy, right? And your generation is AI. That's the new world.
Yep.
Our generation, we don't even know what it was. Do you think AI is going to take a major bite out of the mortgage and real estate industry by taking over versus what we are like? Well, could it take our jobs?
I would say no.
Okay.
I was in my senior year when ChatGPT blew up, and I use it still every now and then to make captions, little stuff here and there.
Yeah.
But nothing can beat that personal touch that we put on everything.
Yeah.
Let alone the amount of fires we go through.
Right.
To bring something.
I mean, AI is scary.
It is.
Because it is basically doing the job of what me and you can do all day.
Yeah.
But you're like you said, it can't.
It can't beat it can't beat the personal touch. And two, I've seen a lot of people talk about this, and I think you talked about it on one of the episodes before.
Yeah.
The amount of people that's involved in one real estate transaction from beginning to close,
right?
From the lenders, us, you have the loan officers, the processors, the underwriters, everyone, the realtor, everyone behind the real estate agent and the broker,
right?
Everyone at title. The amount of people involved, it's so complicated that I don't think they'll be able to automate that at all.
No, a computer can't do it all.
You could use AI to help your business, but you can't make it do it for you. You could try, but you'll lose that touch
Well, people are going to be dealing with computers and they don't want to do that. You know, they want to talk to, I mean, they want to do it to a certain point, but you're right, from start to finish, no.
Yeah.
You know, no. Well, I always like to talk to younger people about AI because I don't even know how to use it that good. It's embarrassing. Like I got to really learn how to use it because I think you could use it to market better and we could probably, which you use.
I'll say it. So for the Tabner Group account, I'll tell ChatGPT what I want the caption to be because I don't want the caption coming from me. it's not coming from you. It's generic. It's supposed to be something that's official.
Sure.
So I'll tell ChatGPT, hey, this is what I want to post. This is the post that I made on Canva. I explain what it is, the description of it, what's a good caption. And it'll spurt out a caption and I'll say, this is too weird. Retry it. And it'll give me something more sophisticated.
Right.
And I'll say, this is too professional. Tweak down the professionals a little bit. And
right.
then it will give me one that's a little less professional.
Right.
And I could get captions that way. But I don't do that for my own personal post because I don't want my personal post to be coming from a computer. I want right. that coming from myself.
Right. See, I'm a person who gets a little bit too generic on or too down to earth street. And sometimes AI can clean me up on what I say because I'm just saying, this is what's going on in the mortgage business. And it's a little bit, messy sometimes. So I think AI can clean up and market better for you.
I think there's ways that you could use it to help here and there, but
yeah.
you should not, one, rely on it, and two, use it too much. You don't want to have to.
Like it makes you lazy.
ChatGPT also almost went out of business.
Right. I know. I saw
90%
that.
Of the employees went on strike because
right.
the main head guy fired one of the, I don't know how it worked, but they almost went out of business. And just like that, if I was using it too much, I would have lost it.
Right.
I mean, sure, there's a bunch of other ones, but
yeah.
point being, only use it to help a little bit.
Right. Don't just sit in your pajamas and talk to AI all day and make it do everything for you, right? I mean, you got to actually have a job and do something, because if you do that, AI is going to wind up taking your job. So,
nope.
All right, man, this was good.
It was good.
I feel good.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be the new blood. So, he's going to take over all the old guys like us once we retire, which hopefully will be sooner than later. But, I don't know when, but I'm hoping sooner than later. But he's learning the business. If you're in the business, you're going to see him reaching out to you. You're going to see his name on more pre-approval letters. You're going to see his name at more open houses, right? Because I'm going to be pushing him to do that. Because if you don't have somebody pushing you to succeed in this business or some type of mentor or person, you need to find one, because I think that as he gets bigger and bigger and starts to learn the ropes now in the hardest market, I stick to that. It's going to be a lot easier. And I think you're doing good though.
Thank you.
Doing good. You know what it is? You're staying level headed and that's what you have to.
Yeah.
You can't get discouraged and blow up and say, oh, I got nothing going. I quit.
No.
You gotta keep going.
And a mentor is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I would know nothing if I didn't have you. And
well, I appreciate that.
And even Rocky and MLO study.
Rocky's another one.
He always said it in the beginning because people say like, oh, I got licensed.
Yeah.
What do I do? He always says, find a mentor.
Yeah, you need a mentor.
You need a mentor that will show you the ropes and show you
yeah.
what it takes to be successful and what you have to do.
Yeah,
every day.
You got
to
do it. And then, and like I said, sometimes it could take up to a year, which right now you're seeing,
yeah.
which I think it'll be sooner than a year for you.
Yeah.
But it could take up to a year to really build your business.
Yeah.
So
I always said it in the beginning, when I was licensed
right.
the first month, I was like, wait a minute.
He was at the supermarket buying peanut butter and noodles for the next year. He was stocking up and then at the cheapest brand, no Skippy, right? just whatever the cheapest peanut butter was and ramen noodles and whatever else. And he said, listen, I'm going to live off of this for the next year. So I'm going to need a couple cases of this.
My first thought was, all right, I'm first licensed this month. Wait, why would someone use me instead of someone who's been doing it for 30 years?
True.
You
got to sell that. It does make sense.
So you got to take the time. You got to build your name and
yeah, and people have to trust you.
Prove it to why they should use you.
Right. People have to trust you.
Yep.
So thanks for coming on, man.
Of course.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to see him again. Okay. He's not hiding anymore. All right. He's in the flesh.
Yep.
He's a real guy. People were starting to question me. Who's Anthony Laborde? What do you mean? Who's Anthony Laborde? I'm going to have him on the show and you're going to see who he is. And then you're going to know. And then you're going to run into him on the street when we start doing business. So let's just keep it rolling. I'm looking for more guests for the show. So if you're out there and you think you're going to be good, you think you could come on this show and give us some school on what's going on in the market as far as real estate and mortgage or homeowner insurance or appraiser, reach out to me. I would love to get more experience on here and see, what's going on the street. I mean, this is what this is all about.
Yep.
So
just stay committed to that time.
Right. Stay committed, which is tough. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Have a good week.
Them.
Yeah, you've reminding them. You're right. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Good stuff, man.
All right.